My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had.
Thousands are joining Snippy.com, expressing their opinions and stirring up lively conversations. Snippy is an unbiased social media platform that's all about conversation and community. Snippy not only encourages freedom of expression, but guarantees its users the ability to discuss topics freely, without suppression from administrators. Check into Snippy.com for a quick update on politics, sports, current events, food, fashion, anything really. Spend minutes or spend hours scrolling through users' posts and striking up conversations. Search by topic, browse the news feed, and follow your favorite writers. Snippy is a place where everyone is free to express their thoughts, share their opinions, and tell the world what makes them snippy. It's a place where discussion is valued, a place where your opinion matters, and it's totally free to join and open to everyone. So come join us at snippy.com and let your opinion matter. No shadow banning and no suppression of conservative thought ever. Snippy now has an updated user interface and lots of exciting new features, also available at the Apple and Google App Stores. Snippy, your new alternative social media.
All right, glad you're with us as we kick off another busy news day. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to have you join us. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Oh, more good economic news. Oh, sorry to bother you with all that good news. Manufacturers giving Donald Trump a 90% approval rating. Yep, the nation's top manufacturers have for the ninth consecutive quarter given Donald Trump and his economy a thumbs up, setting record industry optimism of the economy, predicting positive growth unseen during the Obama administration. Well, Obama gave up and said those jobs, they ain't coming back. National Association of Manufacturers said big, small companies are overwhelmingly optimistic about future growth. In fact, the past nine quarters have seen record optimism. Average of 91.8% of manufacturers positive about their own firm. Well, you know that the Pittsburgh Steel Company, they just reopened a plant that they were manufacturing in Alabama, which is awesome. You know, that's serious, good, high-paying career jobs. Where do we get these pipelines online? I know we have jobs, people building the pipelines, but once we start producing the natural gas and exporting the natural gas, as we have more energy than any other, you know, area of the world combined, oil, gas, etc. When we now go to Anwar and open up Anwar, one of the largest untapped reserves we've ever seen, been sitting there forever, and you know we've been just fighting about it. It's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of high-paying, career-long jobs for Americans that will live better lives. Buy bigger homes, safer neighborhoods, and get vacations, buy the nice new truck every few years that they like, and be more comfortable and able to give the extras to their kids. Unlike, I see Andrew Cuomo was campaigning for his third term, and he pledged to finish his entire term in office. The only caveat is that God strikes me dead, he said. Sounds like God put Cuomo on alert yesterday. Anyway, Cuomo put God on alert because he's suggesting that he's deciding whether to get into the presidential race, and its decision is going to be based on whether Biden runs. All right, Andrew Cuomo. He is the worst governor.
It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
No. And then, you know, he has all the ability to make New York great again. No, he has the potential. The potential is right there under our feet. and it's called natural gas, of which New York State has an abundance of, but he won't allow New York to tap into the, you know, what will be hundreds of thousands of jobs and literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's whining to President Trump that he has a $2.3 billion shortfall because the subsidies that these high tax states would put on the no tax or low tax states, why should those states not get the benefit when they elected politicians that don't give them high taxes? And I'm saying this directly against my own personal interest. But if you have a high tax state like New York or California, where, you know, you're dealing with 12% income tax, state, local, city, federal, whatever. Well, not federal, but state, local, city taxes, income taxes at 12%. Well, we used to be able to deduct that. We can't deduct that anymore. But that was a deduction that people couldn't get in low tax states or no tax states. So they were being favored. People in New York were being favored and, frankly, reinforcing elections of really dumb people that raise our taxes and do little with it. I don't know. He's so far out there. It'd be so interesting to see if he really wants to get into that race. You know, it's amazing. You got all of these issues involving anti-Semitism. You know, we got Omar and Tlaib and, you know, it's so funny how the networks are so quiet about rampant anti-Semitism now when it rising within the Democratic ranks. And even Ocasio-Cortez defending Congresswoman Omar's tweets about Israel. I'm like, really? This is the Democratic Party? Where are the leaders of the Democratic Party? Why aren't they outraged about the tweeting that's gone on and the constant attacks on Israel? Remember, this is a woman that tweeted out once, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Well, we'll see. Well, she's still on a foreign affairs committee. All right. So yesterday we went over a lot of different things. And it really comes down to this is what we're now heading into. I'm looking into my hourglass here through the prism. What do you call that thing? A crystal ball. And I'm looking into it and I see the future. This is what's going to happen. You're going to watch all these radical left-wing Democrats try an out-liberal, out-green deal, out-extreme, the other one. And the wacky base of the Democratic Party, in all likelihood, is going to pick the nominee. You know, there's a reason Joe Biden is being hesitant getting into this race. Because in reality, if it was a fair contest, if Hillary didn't rig the primaries back in 2016, probably Bernie Sanders would have been the candidate. The fact that that got stolen and nobody seems to care about it is kind of one big untold story. That's why she tried to rig the general election. That's what the whole, you know, dossier, dirty Russian dossier and the lies. You know, we knew about this information because it was all leaked out there. And the whole purpose was to propagandize the American people and make you think Donald Trump had two hookers in a bed in Moscow peeing in his bed. And it wasn't true, among other things. They told lies about everybody in that. Then it was used as a basis for the FISA warrant. But anyway, if you really want to break it down to its brass tacks, cut to the chase, this is now the Democratic Party of today. They're now pushing for during and after birth abortion. That's infanticide. They are the party that's now beginning to tell you, and apparently in one poll, 36% of Americans are buying into this, that maybe it's irresponsible and dangerous to have children, to bring kids into this world. They are now, and now it's not Ocasio-Cortez. These are many of the 2020 candidates, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders. And now they want Medicare for all. But that also includes you are forced into the government health care system. You will not have any choice or option. I thought liberals were pro-choice. In other words, you will no longer be able to have your own private health insurance. Now they're pushing legalized drugs and prostitution and reparations. That's been the last couple of weeks. Then they want massive tax increases of 70%, the top marginal rate. And then after you pay that top marginal rate, if you're able to save anything, well, they might come back as a means of paying for free childcare and make you pay a wealth tax. In other words, they will legalize government stealing. It already is at 70% anyway. Now, and then they're the party now, and this is the choice election. This is what you're going to get to choose. Then they're the party that even they make you pay to die. If after you pay your 70% marginal rate, and then after you pay your wealth tax, if you save too much, then if you have anything left at the end of the day, they're going to come in and the federal government gets 40% of that. If you live in New York State, they get another 10% of that. In other words, you pay to die in America. That's why they call it the death tax. Now, they're the party that is enthusiastically embracing this idea that in 10 years we will eliminate all fossil fuels. There will be no more use of oil and gas. I mean, we're going to eliminate all cars with combustion engines. They will compel you to completely rebuild your home to their specifications. Who's going to pay for it? Nobody's talking about that. Now, the cost of all this, the early estimates are as high as $94 trillion in 10 years. They're the party that literally wants to eliminate, they say this, they want to get rid of gas, oil, combustion engine, cows because of the flatulence and the CO2 gas emissions, airplanes as well. And they're going to replace transportation with high-speed trains and plug-in stations all around the country. They will also, they're the party that wants open borders. They want to tear down the border barriers and walls that we have up, regardless of the cost that we know illegal immigrants, you know, it's literally billions of dollars we've paid over the years in the impact on our healthcare system, our educational system, our criminal justice system. They are a party that is willing to leave us as a country totally and completely defenseless against gangs and cartels, even human traffickers of young women, bringing them into prostitution, as we have chronicled. They would leave the country defenseless and the borders wide open for the 90% of heroin that's in America coming across that southern border, and the same with fentanyl. The party that would leave us defenseless against those criminal elements that would have wide access to the borders and commit murder and homicide and sexual and violent assaults. The party that would eliminate all of this. And the party that would nationalize industry and eliminate corporate monopolies. That's the very definition of socialism, the nationalization of industry. And that would mean when you can't buy private health insurance, that means they have taken over entirely the healthcare industry. And that would include taking over the energy industry. That would destroy the lifeblood of our economy. They're the party that then would turn around and make the broad promises that they're going to give you a job at a sustainable wage, medical family leave, government guaranteed vacations. You're going to get their healthcare system, whatever form it ends up taking, you're going to get their retirement system. You're going to get K through 12 and also college and trade school. That's going to be free. You're going to get everything that they offer is going to be free. The party, when they're going to add daycare to the list, there won't be a single thing you have to worry about paying for. The party's going to build high-speed rails. But probably that's going to take a few thousand years. So in the meantime, I guess you can take a rowboat over to Europe and maybe a parasail your way over to Australia somehow. Good luck flying to Asia. This is, you know, this is so sick. I can't even believe you got 100 congressmen and women and senators supporting this crap. This is not a game. This is it. This is the party that will spend the entire Trump presidency, as they have now committed this week, to abusing all of their power not serving you, the people, and trying to undo a duly elected president and put the country into total upheaval that would literally gain their power to advance their new Green Deal by destroying the current president that they think you mistakenly voted for. That is what they're going to do. This is who they are. Versus, and I'll leave it this way, the president that has gotten more done in a shorter period of time with more records set on the economy and more promises kept than any president in our lifetime. And it's all working. Anyway, that's your choice that is now emerging for the 2020 election. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are going to say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple to use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So the path that they have chosen, the Democrats, to get into victory is nonstop. They're going to use 8 congressional committees. Just one of them has now subpoenaed close to 100 people. You know what it's like if you work in Washington and you get a subpoena? I don't care how much you get paid. Now you got to pay the high hourly Washington, D.C. legal rate. You're not going to get anybody that sucks. If you do, you're stupid. So now you can't go before the committee without talking to a lawyer. So Gerald Nadler begins this by saying, yeah, the president obstructed justice. Then I guess somebody sent the memo and said, well, if you're starting an investigation, maybe you shouldn't declare him guilty ahead of time. Now, so Nadler was on fake news CNN last night. You say the president has obstructed justice. You've been clear about that. And then he goes, there's certainly a lot of evidence that he has, but that's exactly the kind of thing we have to look into. He had already claimed and proclaimed guilty that he obstructed justice.
Yes, I do. It's very clear that the president obstructed justice.
Very clear. Now he's saying, so now you're not sure he has obstructed justice? Well, personally, I think he has, but we have to look and see. Well, that's how we do. Now, how much is this going to cost, all this stuff? David Axelrod, of all people, has called out the Democrats for what? They're making these investigations look like a witch hunt. That's stating the obvious, David, but at least you said it. Quick break, right back. Two Americas, a big electoral choice, perhaps the biggest in your lifetime coming.
From award-winning film and TV star Gary Sinise comes Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service. This powerful memoir chronicles the inspiring, never-before-told story of Gary Sinise's journey from aimless teen to theater student to critically acclaimed actor and director, including his portrayal of Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump, which led to his life-changing mission as advocate and supporter for the men and women who put themselves in harm's way in service to our country. Read Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service by Gary Sinise. Available now wherever books are sold.
You ever wonder where your state ranks in terms of those states that pay the highest amount of taxes versus the lowest amount of taxes? Let's see. What state do you think pays the least amount of taxes? Just something you may want to think of. Well, the state that actually pays people to be in the state, Alaska. You know, the taxes paid as a percentage of income is only 6.5%. Income per capita, $57,179, the 10th highest. And then you got South Dakota, Wyoming, Tennessee. Look at Tennessee. They only pay as a percentage of income 7.3%. Louisiana 7.6, Texas 7.6, New Hampshire 7.9, Nevada 8.1, no income tax there either. South Carolina 8.4, Mississippi, and then it goes in between there. And, you know, all the states you would think of in the middle. Florida, taxes as a percentage of income, 8.9%. Same with Colorado. Georgia, 9.1. Iowa, 9.2. Nebraska, 9.2. Idaho, 9.3. Missouri, 9.3. Virginia, 9.3. Washington, 9.3. Michigan, 9.4. Kentucky, I was surprised, at 9.5. Indiana, 9.5. And you go to Kansas and Utah, 9.6. North Carolina, 9.8. West Virginia, 9.8. Ohio, 9.8. Arkansas, 10.1. Delaware. Now we just start moving down. Pennsylvania, 10.2. Maine, I'm surprised at Maine at 10.2. Even Hawaii's at 10.2. Oregon, 10.3. Vermont, 10.3. Massachusetts, 10.3. Rhode Island, 10.8. Minnesota, the same. Maryland, 10.9. Wisconsin, 11. Illinois, 11. California, 11. And let's see, New Jersey, 12.2. Connecticut, 12.6. And coming in number one, taxes paid, percentage of income, 12.7. You know, and I guess that includes everything. So that's basically what they stand for. So now how do the Democrats, everything I just went through their entire, starting with during afterbirth abortion. No cows, no cars, no planes, you know, rebuild your home, everything's free. And the party that wants to raise the top marginal rates to 70%, add a wealth tax, only everybody has to be in the national health system. They'll take over all of health care. They'll eliminate oil and gas. That's the system. Then we begin the process of, well, how do they get to this point? How do they get the power back so they can implement the agenda? Well, you have Gerald Nadler. We got 8 committees now. The Democrats are being forthright. This is now going to be the single widest net ever cast to destroy any single elected official. And they're going to use the power of the government to look for any and everything possible to destroy Donald Trump, because apparently none of them are confident that the Mueller report is going to give them what they thought it was going to give them. I don't expect that you're going to see on the news, sorry, we've been wrong for 2 years, or that you're going to hear from Democrats, sorry, we've been wrong for 2 years. But, you know, Nadler, they're going to look into everything. They're going to investigate. They're looking for a crime that they have no idea what it is at this point. And what they'll move from issue to issue to issue to issue. They're not interested at all in any truth. They just want to destroy Trump. Hopefully they can impeach him. But if not, they bloody him with death by a thousand cuts. But this is on. This is how they think they're going to get their power back. I don't even think it's good politics. Because maybe if they would convince people that their ideas were superior and they had a plan to make the country more safe, more secure, and make the country more prosperous and create more jobs. But they just had 8 years of Obama. And as bad as we thought he was, these guys are far worse. Obama wasn't radical enough for them. You know, Trump could quite conceivably be added to the Ivanka Trump. Now they might want to add to the probe. Yeah, let's go after the family. See if we can piss off the president more. Then he'll get mad. Nadler, we have to make sure this is not a dictatorship. What does that mean? First, he said he was guilty of obstruction. Well, I believe that, but I don't know yet. Maxine Waters is back out there going after the president. Lying Trump came away from the fake summit with terrorist and killer Kim Jong-un. And nothing, because Kim never intended to offer anything. Don, the con man, got conned. Hey, 45, you still in love with Kim? No one can believe this unworthy president. He's the most prolific, consistent, good-for-nothing liar this country has ever experienced. Tell that to the 5.3 million people that are back working at jobs that they didn't have when Obama was president, but putting that aside. Then she reacted to reports that the Washington Post journalist Khashoggi and Trump, God will never forgive you for siding with the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, as they call him. And then she goes into her typical, you know, impeach 45. Over 100 Democrats now support banning all private health insurance plans, as 100 Democrats now support the new Green Deal. By the way, Ocasio-Cortez is in trouble, and her chief of staff could be facing jail time if their control over the PAC was intentionally hidden. Because the problem is, according to archived copies of the group's website, the two appear to retain their control of the group. According to corporate filings obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation, if the FEC finds that Ocasio-Cortez and her Democratic campaign manager, if they operated in affiliation with the PAC, which has raised more than $1.8 million before a primary, well, that would open them up to massive reporting violations, probably at least some illegal contribution violations exceeding lawful limits, according to the former FEC Commissioner Brad Smith. Ocasio-Cortez never disclosed to the FEC that she and her campaign manager, who served in that chair, controlled the PAC while it was simultaneously reporting the primary campaign. And former FEC commissioners say that the arrangement could lead to multiple campaign finance violations. The group backed 12 Democrats during the 2018 midterms. Ocasio-Cortez was the only one of those to win in the general election. By the way, what's a little scary, a third of Americans share Ocasio-Cortez's worry about having kids because of climate change. It's a scary poll. Anyway, Ocasio-Cortez's mom, she's getting with the program. Good for her mom, because she left New York to move to Florida, and the reason is to pay less in taxes. And she was interviewed by the Daily Mail about the financial difficulties after her husband passed away and how she faced foreclosure twice, saying it was scary and I had to take medicine and I was scared. I had to stop paying for the mortgage for almost a year. I was expecting someone to knock on the door and kick me out at any time. There were even some real estate people coming around to take photos of the house for when it was going to be auctioned off. The worst is that I thought I only had $50,000 left to pay on the loan. She eventually made a deal with the bank to avoid eviction. And anyway, then she decided to move to Florida to save on taxes. And they also have an anti-Semitic problem, which we'll get into later in the program. So you got Maxine Waters. You got eight committees. Gerald Nadler. You got Adam Schiff. By the way, I'm looking at Adam Schiff. We've invited him on this radio program. We're offering him 3 hours. Bill Maher suggested it, and I said, that's a good idea. I'll offer him an hour on TV. We have an archive just of Adam Schiff and his lies that he tells all the time. He's completely full of Schiff, Adam Schiff, completely full of it. But that's how they plan to get
Sean,
it.
Sean, did you want me to contact his office for you?
You've already contacted his office.
But I mean, maybe I should do it again.
How many times have you contacted his office?
Clearly not enough.
How many times?
About 5.
Have they ever called you back?
Not yet. Maybe I'll call now.
All right, call him now.
I'll call right now.
Call right now. See what they have to say.
Call right now.
Hannity's offering him 1 hour TV and 3 hours of radio, and we want to talk about his Russian collusion that he has on tape, that I have on tape.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe
yes.
pageant.
Absolutely, and she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay, and what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. He's being
so
hoaxed.
Was made aware... of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buseva where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
What was the nature of the compromising material? Naked picture of Mr. Trump. Yes. He was colluding with the Russians to get dirt on Donald Trump. And it's all caught on tape. Where's Robert Mueller? I thought that's what he was investigating, to impact the elections, to impact the presidency. I thought that was wrong. By the way, new Green Deal. You have almost 100 people in the House and Senate now supporting this madness. Nearly 100. You know, there was an article in the New York Post that I loved. You know, all these millennials that, and we're going to send our Lawrence Jones out on the streets today, and we'll show it on Hannity tonight. You know, remember the adage of Churchill, if you're 20 and not a liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're 40 and not a conservative, you don't have a brain. But millennials are so completely ignorant. They don't have, they have no clue what socialism is. Reuters does a piece that they're ignorant. It's appalling economic human rights history, increasingly embracing something that they know nothing about. I guess it's the cool hip thing. Is that what it is? Yet a growing number of veteran Democratic politicos should know better, but are clearly terrified at the star power of Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez. That's true. Nancy Pelosi fears Ocasio-Cortez. Ocasio-Cortez says no to Pelosi. Pelosi's out. Never mind Speaker Pelosi's warning that this is not a bumper sticker war. Anyway, Gallup reports 57% of Democrats have a positive view of socialism. Well, they have no idea what socialism is. They just have a positive view of it. Same poll shows respondents supporting small business and free enterprise and rejecting the idea that government is doing too little. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I will tell you, there's a percentage of the population that wants free everything. New York Magazine has a cover piece out. When did everyone become a socialist? Because they don't know what it is. Anyway, that's the news from Lake Socialism. This is with complaint that Ocasio-Cortez and her aide hid nearly $100 million. That's a big deal. So I had this guy on Hannity last night, and he was pretty interesting. Called Ocasio-Cortez, he was one of the founders of Greenpeace, and he called her a pompous little twit. We'll play that later in the show. I like the reaction to yesterday in the announcements. Sarah Sanders put out a statement. Today, Chairman Nadler opened up a disgraceful, abusive investigation into tired, false allegations already investigated by the special counsel and committees in both chambers of Congress. Chairman Nadler and his fellow Democrats have embarked on this fishing expedition because they are terrified that their two-year false narrative of Russia collusion is crumbling. Their intimidation and abuse of American citizens is shameful. Democrats are harassing the president to distract from their radical agenda of making America a socialist country, killing babies after they're born, and pushing a Green New Deal that would destroy jobs and bankrupt America. The American people deserve a Congress that works with the president to address serious issues like immigration, health care, infrastructure. And the Democrats are more interested in pathetic political gains and catering to a radical leftist base than on producing results for our citizens. Now, the Democrats are not after the truth. They're after the president. And it's all true.
I think that you... You adequately informed the court about the origins of the FISA, the origins of the Steele dossier.
Yep.
And do you think Stu Evans, who's the chief of the intelligence officer, when he took it to the court, was fully informed?
I do. I do believe that we adequately notified the FISA court of the information we were using and what we thought about that information. I think In fact, in my experience with FISA packages, I've never seen a footnote like the one we included in that package specifically for that purpose.
This is like a This is like on page 16 or 8.
It's about a page and a half long.
Footnote itself.
It goes into great detail about our previous relationship, what we thought of the information we were getting from him, and kind of where, how we understood his involvement or interest in this stuff that was in the FISA package. So I do think we represented it adequately. I know that's a matter that's currently under investigation. Be anxious to see what they have to say about it. Well, I'm not going to go into the details of the conversations I had with Stu, but at the end of the day, we put forth a package that, to my understanding, people in my building and the department were satisfied with. So to the extent that there were any concerns about how we represented what we knew about the informant and his potential, how he came involved in acquiring this information and what his background might say about his involvement in that collection, I think everyone was satisfied that we had represented that accurately and adequately in the package. The court was obviously satisfied. They signed it, what, 3 or 4 times?
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, our Hannity Watch on the Deep State. There's been a lot of new developments, new news coming out almost on a daily basis. We've been so wrapped up in other issues, including the now planned nonstop, unlimited, wide open, widest net possible search into anything and all thing Donald Trump. And if it means we're just going to force people to pay for lawyers in the process, well, that's just too bad. Forget about governing the country. Forget about safety and security and prosperity of the American people. No, this isn't now. Well, Trump-Russia collusion is not working. What's plan B? And it goes from there. That was Andrew McCabe in an interview that he did on C-SPAN and saying how that they adequately informed the FISA court as to the origins of the Steele dossier. Well, that doesn't say you verified and corroborated what was in the Steele dossier, because if you had done your job, you would have come to the same conclusion Christopher Steele himself came to later in an interrogatory in Great Britain, where he himself admitted that this was maybe 50-50. It's raw intelligence. I have no idea if any of this is true, but they presented it to the FISA court as though this was factual, accurate, and true. They were also warned by Bruce Orr, according to his testimony in August of 2016, that Hillary paid for it, that Steele hated Donald Trump, and it was unverified and uncorroborated. They did not heed that warning, and then they used or abused and committed a fraud on the FISA court and abused the constitutional rights of one Carter Page for the purposes of having a backdoor entrance into all things associated with the Trump campaign. So they can say all they want that everyone was satisfied, including the FISA court, about the package that got us the FISA warrant. Well, I think when you hide the fact that Hillary paid for it, which you did, and you don't verify, because you can't verify something that we now know, according to the author, is not true. So they didn't verify it. Now, did they do a CYA, a cursory, some kind of, is this true or not true? We talked about Christopher Steele's history. Well, in the middle of all this, Steele gets fired before the signing of the next 3 FISA applications. He was fired for lying and leaking. So that doesn't buy you any justification for the 3 renewal applications in that case. Anyway, joining us on this and all the other new and latest developments, we have John Solomon from The Hill is with us, Fox News legal analyst, author of the number one bestseller, The Russia Hoax, now out in paperback. Greg Jarrett is with us. I think they're lying.
Oh, yeah.
You can't verify something. They purposely withheld who paid for it. That's true. They also can't verify something whose own author denounces his own work.
Right. I mean, he actually says in court records that the document is unverifiable. And we know that to be true because Comey admitted they never verified it. And so when you listen to that soundbite you just played of Andrew McCabe with NPR saying, this was the most forthcoming and honest document FISA application I've ever seen, that is just preposterous. Almost nothing that comes out of the mouth of Andrew McCabe bears any semblance to honesty or the truth. You're right. They did not tell the court the salient facts, that Hillary Clinton had commissioned it, that Christopher Steele, who composed it, had lied and leaked. But most of all, they didn't even follow their own procedures. The regulations on special counsel, as well as the FISA court, are very specific. You may never submit unverified information. They did precisely that, lying to the court and deceiving the judges.
It is interesting that we learned Christopher Steele, who authored this phony Russian dossier that Hillary paid for by funneling money through the law firm and then Fusion GPS, apparently was scheduled to appear at a pro-democracy conference in Baltimore next week. And that planned appearance by video would have been Steele's first public appearance since the dossier was published. Nor will he apparently speak before any congressional committee, John Solomon.
Yeah, no, I don't, unless Lindsey Graham goes full bore and tries to get him to comply with a subpoena overseas, which is very hard to enforce. We may not hear Christopher Steele in an environment where he can be questioned honestly. And I think that, you know, he is going to go down as one of the great enigmas of a lot of FBI misconduct. It's obvious what his motives were. It's obvious who his employer was. These things, as Greg so eloquently described, were kept from the court. But there's another thing that we don't talk about a lot yet, but I suspect we will very soon, and I'm working on something on this in the near future. There's another thing that the FBI overtly kept from the court, and that was exculpatory information, not derogatory information about the source against Steele, which they clearly had to disclose, and they didn't. But what if, and I have strong reason to believe, that Carter Page and George Papadopoulos were intercepted by FBI informants and recorded, and we've heard members of Congress talk about these transcripts nebulously. What if in the course of those conversations, and I believe this has absolutely happened, they said exculpatory things like, I didn't meet with those Russians. That's not what we did. We didn't change the Ukraine platform because of Russia or any of those things. And those don't get put into the FISA warrant. When you add that to what we already know about the omissions about Steele, you start to see a criminal element to how they tailored this FISA. They left everything exculpatory, everything derogatory about their sources out to try to railroad through a FISA warrant. And I think Andrew McCabe's words that this was a thorough process will be laid bare when these declassification documents come out, and we see how much.
I mean, what other option does he have at this point to say, well, we were confident we did our work on this? Because then otherwise he would admit that he was just going along with something that is now proven to be false. And that would mean that it was a look, at the end of the day, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'll ask both of you, this was a purposeful, conscious fraud on the court. They knew what they were doing. They didn't care. They knew they were lying to the FISA court judges. They knew they were omitting certain things that were pertinent that would have impacted the decision of the judges. There's no doubt about that in my mind, Greg.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the great tragedy is that there are, on average, per week, 29 FISA applications presented to one judge. So they can't possibly, that judge that rotates in a new one every week, can't possibly hold 29 hearings. So what they do is they take the vast majority of them, this one in particular, on paper submissions. That means they are trusting the veracity, the honesty of the FBI and the Department of Justice when they present it. And it requires a very discerning judge to look at that footnote number 8 that obliquely refers to an opposition party or candidate presenting, some of this evidence. You would have to be clairvoyant to understand that that was Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee. But since there's no adversary in this secret court, this star chamber, they simply accepted it.
Well, we have two developments on that point. Number one, the Attorney General Barr, the new Attorney General, has refused to recuse himself from the investigation. He has no intention whatsoever, thankfully. And Devin Nunes is urging the new Attorney General. All of us want to see equal justice under the law. He says, I believe that if the new Attorney General and the Department of Justice don't take all of this on, if they don't do a full scrub, have full accountability and transparency for the American people, you're going to see generations of conservatives who will not trust the Department of Justice. They will not trust the FBI, and they for sure will not trust the FISA process. I don't want to gloss over it because it's important. The FISA laws were first written in the 70s. They need to be completely rewritten because of what the Clinton campaign and former people at the DOJ and FBI were able to do. Well, what's going to happen with William Barr? And I know that you have some sources inside of Mueller's camp. What's going to happen with the Mueller report? When's it going to be released? And do you think we'll ever see the light of day? Will it see the light of day, John Solomon?
You know, I think a summary of it, of the key important decisions that were made, will be made available by General Barr to the Congress, as he has indicated he would. I don't think the full report will ever see the light of day. I think there's a possibility the president could claim executive privilege over it. I think the Democrats may even be disappointed with what's in the full report, which is there's just not a, I mean, my understanding is this report is going to be fairly sparse. It's not going to be a multi-volume narrative of what they thought should or should not have been proven. I think what you've heard from the people in the know, Rod Rosenstein recently, General Barr, I just saw one of the Trump attorneys, former Ty Cobb, talking. Everybody expects Bob Mueller to be rather narrow in his view. I charge these people because X, and I didn't charge these people, and I'm done, and see you later. If that becomes the record that Bob Mueller leaves behind, Democrats are going to be very angry.
Well, apparently that's what they're expecting, though. Isn't that why we now see, you know, a shift in strategy away from.
You can see it.
Yeah. And now they just want
to rewrite them. They want to rewrite the Mueller report and put their own twist on history here. And that's, you know, 2 years ago, they were cheering Bob Mueller on. Well, now he looked at the facts. He may have come to the conclusion that we all predicted he would come.
So you don't expect even the innuendo about Donald Trump that, well, maybe he shouldn't have fired Comey, or maybe he shouldn't have said, I hope General Flynn doesn't get in trouble, you know, or something like that.
I think you look at the I think the most instructive comments made in the last week were those of Rod Rosenstein, where he said that in the Justice Department, we don't talk about things we don't do. And I think that that was a clear signal from the Deputy Attorney General who oversaw this investigation that this report is unlikely to do.
But what about these people? Shouldn't they be worried now? Because we do have evidence that they committed a fraud on a FISA court. We have more evidence, as a matter of fact, that they rigged the investigation into Hillary. General counsel under Comey, James Baker, wanted to indict Hillary for violating the Espionage Act, which was something we all talked about.
And that's information that will come out once the witnesses who testified behind closed doors, once the transcripts like Baker's that you just mentioned become public.
Wait, so assuming everybody that is on the left that were expecting these big things, as it relates to the Mueller report, assuming that it doesn't come out the way they want, then I guess the next step for them is what we see Nadler doing and eight other House committees doing. They're basically have cast the widest net of investigations I've ever seen in my life in the hopes that they'll find something that sticks and some reason that they can remain on this obsessive compulsive path of destroying Donald Trump and not serving the country.
The Russia hoax begat the witch hunt, and now since that part of the witch hunt appears to have failed, both with the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees, and apparently not much with Robert Mueller in terms of collusion, now a new avenue of the witch hunt is being launched, this time by the likes of Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Elijah Cummings. Nadler in particular.
Well, when are we going to investigate Adam Schiff? Because he's on tape coordinating with people that he thinks are Russians to get dirt on Trump. But all right, I got to thank you both, John Solomon and Greg Jarrett. Thank you both. We'll continue to follow the story as it unfolds. 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, we're going to look at the polls. Donald Trump holding steady. Shocking. What will this new radical departure of the former Democratic Party into this new extreme radical hate Trump, no agenda, new Green Deal? What will that party, how's that party going to fare in the polls? We'll get into that. Then our news roundup hour coming up as well.
Those in favor of the resolution, raise your voting cards. Thank you. All of those opposed, the motion carries.
Woo! Yeah! Yeah!
All right, there it is. You know, this is your modern Democratic Party, and it's getting worse. The rise of anti-Semitism within the party and the party leadership's unwillingness to deal with it is really getting out of hand. And, you know, especially amid the latest Congresswoman Omar controversy. And I know Democrats are finally, well, they're going to draft a resolution condemning not her, but anti-Semitism in general. And introduce it on the House floor. But, you know, you look at the networks and it's very interesting because, you know, if it was a Republican, there would be far different coverage. But the Democratic Party internally is afraid to go after Ocasio-Cortez, who supports Congresswoman Omar and Congresswoman Tlaib. And Nancy Pelosi can prepare all the resolutions that they want. But Omar saying again last week, talking of Jewish influence, I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it's okay to push for allegiance to a foreign country. And some people said it was anti-Semitic. The ADL has called for this resolution. And more importantly, why does she sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee? That too. Israel has hypnotized the world, Omar said. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. That's pretty chilling and pretty frightening, and that's not all that this woman has been involved in. And there you have the new leader of the Democratic Party, the new Green Deal leader, Ocasio-Cortez, defending Congresswoman Omar's tweets and the things that she has said. And she went to Twitter herself to defend the Minnesota Congresswoman over the comments she keeps making about Israel, which so many see as clearly anti-Semitic. Even some fellow Democrats are now speaking out against it. Congressman Engel from New York has spoken out about it, and a few others. Where's Chuckie Schumer? Why hasn't he spoken out? Where's Gillibrand? Why hasn't she spoken out? Anyway, but if you look at this, I should not be expected to have to pledge allegiance or support for a foreign country in order to serve my country in Congress or a committee. And yet the Democrats are afraid to deal with that. But it's only one of the many problems they have. Now, the president, on the other hand, well, he's creating 5.5 million new jobs and bringing back manufacturing jobs and keeping his promises on trade deals with Canada and with Mexico and soon to be with China. And he's negotiated better deals with our European allies and friends, as well as NATO. And the president has made us energy independent for the first time in 75 years. And as you can see, the president is fighting like hell to get the wall built because he made that promise to build that wall. And even though 10 Republicans in the Senate will go against him, that won't be able, there won't be enough votes in either the House or Senate to override his veto, which is certain in this case. What does it mean for the American people? It means peace, prosperity. You know, if the Democrats, if their main focus of attention is Michael Cohen instead of the president trying to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, I think that shows you where their priorities are. You know, if you look at the fake news cable channels, CNN and NBC, the night that the president was meeting with little rocket man Kim Jong-un in Vietnam, well, they spent 12 minutes in all of primetime covering that. Over almost 500 minutes covering Michael Cohen. Is that a strategy the American people are going to buy into? I don't think so. Anyway, John McLaughlin, McLaughlin and Associates, is with us. How are you, sir? And how do you read these numbers yourself? You've got your own internal numbers that you're looking at. What do you see?
Right. I mean, the president is definitely moving up in the terms of his job approval. What's amazing is, I mean, you talking about Congresswoman Omar and Congresswoman Tlaib, they are the gifts that don't stop giving to the Republicans. I mean, they're clearly anti-Semitic. They clearly detest Israel, our reliable Democratic ally in the Middle East. And you wonder about what they think of the United States, but they really have the Democrats out there where, I mean, you said it. Where's Chuck Schumer? I mean, where's Senator Gillibrand? I mean, you know, Elliot Engel is probably going nuts because his party, the Democratic Party that we all grew up with, where, you know,
partisanship ended at the country's borders, and overseas we were united on things like Israel and about fighting for our democratic allies or supporting our democratic allies. Here you've got Democrats playing partisan politics. The president is trying to negotiate a nuclear agreement with North Korea, and they're personally attacking him, trying to undermine it at the same time. And these are the same Democrats who voted for the horrible Iran deal that allowed them to keep their nuclear program together. And you're seeing that now, even in Israel. You know, I work for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I mean, the leading opponent, General Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid, and they support the Iran deal. So the stakes are really high, where when you think about where the world is right now, and the president's numbers, his job approval numbers are going up. After the State of the Union, State of the Union address was really good. We did some internal polling for the Trump campaign, and among ticket splitters in battleground states, in our sample, he had 38% had actually voted for us because he's a ticket splitter. It wasn't our base, but if they saw the speech, his job approval rose to 46%. If they watched it live and not watch the news reports, he was actually a plus 4, 51-47. And when you reminded him of the things that he wanted to do, that he wants to cover pre-existing conditions, that he wants to have paid family leave, that he wants to decrease the price of drugs, that he wants to basically end HIV in 10 years and do childhood cancer research, et cetera. When you saw all those things, the president's job approval rose to 59% with those voters.
All right. So that what you're saying there is better communication on the president's part. Now, let's juxtapose. We now see what the Democratic strategy is. Never-ending investigation. They want to bludgeon death by a thousand cuts every minute, every second, every minute, every hour of every day, hating on Trump. What does that get them 2 years from now? And when you couple that with the Green New Deal, which we know is going to result in, you know, misery, you know, they're the party of afterbirth abortion now. There maybe we shouldn't have kids party, no private health insurance party, legalizing drugs and prostitution party, 70% marginal tax rates, and then you pay a wealth tax if you save too much money to pay for free child care. Then they want to, by the way, you get another 40% taken away just to die, to have the honor of dying in America. They'll come back again. The party that will eliminate gas and oil, combustion engines, compel you to rebuild your homes, get rid of airplanes and cows, and I can keep going, and everything else is free. How, when people, this is going to be a choice election. When people look at that choice, what are the people in this country going to decide? I think it's obvious and easy.
By the way, it's obvious and easy, and President Trump's base is solid, and they will be there for him. But we have a gift this year, as during 2019, to win their primary. They have to be the most deranged in this crowded field. So that's why you have somebody who might be a reasonable Democrat like Bloomberg is down in 2% in the polls. Well, today there's a morning consult poll that Sanders is at 27% within 4 points of Biden. I mean, Bernie Sanders is an admitted socialist. He supports
Who would be the toughest to go for Trump to go up against? Linda thinks Biden. Who do you think?
You know what? I think Trump can beat any of them. I really do. And it's because of the issues, because of the policy successes. If he gets out there, the State of the Union, 47 million people tuned into that. His poll numbers were going up after it. It's because his policies are succeeding. And when he can talk to the American public directly, besides these rallies, he should be doing a series of regular policy speeches where he gets out and he creates contrast with the Democrats. I mean, right now, the Democrats are so crazy that if the president goes out there and does a speech on curing and doing research for childhood cancer, the Democrats will be in favor of cancer. I mean, we're dealing with a party that has forgotten all semblance of reasonableness and bipartisanship and is only you know, driven by their emotional response to beat this president, because he not only beat them badly 2 years ago, but he also basically is beating them on policies where he's getting things done. He's all the things that you went through, the 5 million new jobs, the low unemployment rate, the America being strong and secure in a dangerous world. He's accomplishing things, and he's doing it.
Well, let me bring in Doug Schoen, because this is his party, but I mean, you know, the wide net, endless investigations, coupled with the new Green Deal that the Democrats are pushing. I'm kind of suspicious that you may want to keep your car that you have and keep America on gas and oil. And I think you probably like a good steak once in a while, Doug Schoen. And I think you probably like to travel by airplane, and you don't feel like getting in a rowboat to go over to Europe. And I suspect that you might want to go to Asia one day or swing on out to Australia. And if you do, the idea of that high-speed train that's going to be built sometime in the next 4,000 years is not that appealing to you.
Well, my party, I wish I could say it had not gone off the rails, as John and you suggest, but it has. The Green New Deal makes no sense. Medicare for all makes new sense. A guaranteed job for everyone makes new sense. And if this continues, and I'm afraid you'll hold me to this, Sean, but I have to agree that if this continues, we will see a re-election of Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, but what's so bad about that? Look at the economy. You got to admit, he's creating jobs, and the economy's thriving. We're now energy independent. We now have better trade deals with all our trading partners, probably. China soon to follow. The world is a safer place just with North Korea, but I think he's developed good relationships with the people in the Middle East. And China, obviously, has got a pretty good relationship. Nothing's ever going to be perfect because, you know, these are evil regimes in some cases, but you got to deal with the real world, and the real world has evil in it. Quick break. More with Doug Schoen and John McLaughlin. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, as we continue with John McLaughlin and Doug Schoen, and it looks like, you know, you've got like 100 Democrats now supporting the new Green Deal. Then you've got the endless investigations. Why would the Democrats, and I'll throw this to Doug first, why would the Democrats allow themselves to go full head on into the biggest fishing expedition? It's as close to the McCarthy hearings as I've ever seen in my life. Are you or have you ever been a Donald Trump supporter so we can subpoena you?
Well, I think it is that the Democratic base is so far left and so anti-Trump, and so are their members of Congress, that they are really playing to their own worldview and to that of their supporters to their own detriment. To their own detriment. They will lose as a result of overplaying their hand.
Is there anything that they're standing for that's going to make us safer, more secure, more prosperous?
I haven't heard it. Maybe you can help me, Sean.
And John McLaughlin, let me ask you, because I know you work with the Prime Minister of Israel, and he had this incident after 3 years. I think he took cigars as a gift and didn't report it, and they're trying to blow this thing up into something that it's not. But you have elections, what, in how many weeks?
5 weeks.
Who is the most popular figure in Israel these days? Is it President Trump? Because I saw a billboard with Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump.
President Trump is very popular in Israel because when you think about it, they live so close to Iran, and they're surrounded by people that want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And President Trump has stood up for them. He's moved the embassy.
What's his approval rating?
It's 6 out of 10 Israelis support the president.
Would it help if Donald Trump went there and campaigned with the prime minister?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the president
when would be the best time to do it? Now or closer to the election?
Well, any time would be good that it fits into the president's schedule, but certainly it's only 5 weeks away. So, and the Israeli electorate is fairly you know, they can move around. They can be volatile because it's a multi-party system.
Yeah. Then you have the coalitions that are built. But I got to let you both go. We'll forgive you for being late, Doug Schoen. Don't worry about it.
Thank you very much.
All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. News Roundup, information overload, and your calls next hour. Hannity tonight at 9. We got a great show. We'll tell you about that in a minute.
You said you can't envision a scenario where you run again for a third time, but can you tell me now, standing here 100%, that you've ruled it out?
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe.
All of you ended up being Hillary voters. So does Hillary have a role in 2020, should she campaign for?
Stay away.
Why is that?
I love you, Hillary. I love you. But stay away. We are so divided right now that anything that has Hillary on it is automatically going to separate us again.
I just think her time is done. I think it's been, it's done. We do need something new.
All right, News Roundup, information overload hour. I mean, why is it even being put out there that she would even consider running? The other one that is not doing well in terms of focus groups and people polling is Joe Biden, crazy Uncle Joe. And, you know, I actually would love Joe Biden to run because Joe Biden represents everything that was Obama. And we're either going to stay the course, and that is the Trump success, or you're going to go back to the economy of Obama. But it's going to be worse because the Democratic Party has become even more extreme, as we've been discussing. And, you know, this is now a party that doesn't care at all about serving the American people, as I've been saying.
I disagree with you. I think Biden's going to whoop some ass.
You think he'd beat Trump?
Listen. Biden is synonymous with Obama, and all those Obama lovers, they see Biden. I'm telling, early polls indicate he's leading. He's not even in yet.
First sort of mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. Mm. I mean, that's a storybook.
Three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
I don't think he's got the energy.
First of all, that was my favorite cut. Can we just talk about the three-letter word?
No, my favorite one is he's nice, he's clean and articulate. Wow, storybook about talking about Obama.
Storybook, man.
It's storybook.
Going to take Trump outside behind the high school.
You can't go to a Dunkin' Donuts or a 7-Eleven unless you have a slight Indian accent.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
And you don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state. My state is the eighth largest black population in the country. My state is anything from a Northeast liberal state.
All right, let's go back, though, to Hillary for a second. Hillary, the Southern accent thing came back when she gave her speech this weekend. And I'm watching, and I'm like, there it is again. I don't know what it is, because Al Gore, this is like this phenomenon.
Let's take a listen to it.
Well, let me set it up first. There is a phenomenon among Democratic presidential candidates when they get before predominantly African-American audiences. Al Gore would go into his preacher mode, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Stand with me for the economic empowerment that is the next great civil rights frontier. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Don't tell me we live in a colorblind society. The Republicans know that theirs is the wrong agenda for African Americans. That's why they don't even want to count you in the census.
All right, so that's Gore. Now remember,
I don't know, this sounds a lot like Cookie Monster.
So remember, Hillary, I don't feel no ways tired.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And the chair of all the mayors in the country, Mayor Palmer from Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Mayor Palmer. I mean, come on. All right. So she was widely criticized for this. And I've spoken to many people, and they think it's one of the most insulting things. All of a sudden, you're going to change. You're going to change your tone, your pitch, your cadence, your delivery. And for whatever reason, I guess you're trying to, you know, you're pandering to an audience. And, you know, but it's a phenomenon. She did it again this weekend. Listen to this.
Reverend Green, when those bones get up, and when that spirit is breathed into them, and they start climbing out of that valley, the first place they go is to register to vote.
Wow. Pretty amazing. And then she claimed she lost Wisconsin. I love the sore loserism of Hillary. In 2016, because voters were turned away because of the color of their skin. Okay, let's listen to this.
And then it gets up to the Supreme Court, and they say, oh, you don't need that anymore. We don't need that voting rights stuff. You don't have to hold states and municipalities accountable. We're beyond all that now. What nonsense. Absolute absurd nonsense. And what was the result? They gutted the Voting Rights Act. I was the first person who ran for president without the protection of the Voting Rights Act. And I will tell you, it makes a really big difference. And it doesn't just make a difference in Alabama and Georgia.
There we go.
It made a difference in Wisconsin, where the best studies that have been done said somewhere between 40 and 80,000 people were turned away from the polls because of the color of their skin, because of their age, because of whatever excuse could be made up to stop a fellow American citizen from voting.
You know what's amazing in this, and I've noticed this as a phenomenon. Al Gore loses, and then he lost his mind. Hillary has lost her mind. I mean, I thought John McCain was never the same after he lost. It bothers people. Mitt Romney, I think, has changed too. In a lot of ways. And the reason is you're not running thinking you're going to lose. I can't tell you, having been now on radio for 30 years covering elections, and you talk to these candidates, it says a week before the election, they're down 15, 16 points in the polls. And I'll say, well, you're down 15, 16 points. What makes you think you can make up that difference? Oh, the polls are all wrong. Now, polling is, especially in this day and age, I can accept that polling is definitely off. I think Donald Trump is the one person you can never get an accurate read on. Now, one thing that we do get is a consistent base that he does not lose high 40s or right at the 50% mark. And the reason for that is his base is not going to leave him. And he's kept his promises. I mean, the single best thing you can do for your political career, if you want one, is to keep your promises and work hard and fight for the things you said you were going to do. Nobody ever thinks of that part. That's why Democrats, you know, going after Donald Trump, you know, for, you know, I don't know, urinating on the floor in a bathroom one day. I mean, that's how absurd this whole thing has gotten, is it's not going to serve them well. Look, David Axelrod even said he called out Democrats because saying these investigations look like a witch hunt. And he's right, because that's what it is. But all these candidates, I've even noticed people, and I won't mention names because I don't feel like mentioning them, people that ran against Trump in the primary are so devastated that they lost to Trump, they're not the same people. But you'd say to somebody, you're down 16 points. No, you should see the crowds. Like, crowds are just a small microcosm of the general electorate. It doesn't mean a thing. All right. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN is our toll free telephone number. Let me get back to Ocasio-Cortez, who I think is fascinating, because Ocasio-Cortez now has about 100 Democrats in the House and Senate supporting her insanity New Green Deal plan. And what they're really afraid of, there is a fear of Ocasio-Cortez. In a closed door meeting last week, she was warning Democrats who vote with Republicans that she's putting them on a list, the Ocasio-Cortez list. Now, that was interpreted as a primary challenge list. And she has since downplayed the comments of that. And I don't think it's productive. Others are saying Nancy Pelosi is afraid of Ocasio-Cortez, because Nancy Pelosi has the thinnest margin. And, you know, with the Democrats, as I've been saying, now that they have decided they're going to use eight committees, They're going to do nothing to make the country safer and more secure or more prosperous. It's going to be endless investigations. It's the broadest, most sweeping, generalized investigation into anything and everything Donald Trump. Because apparently the Trump-Russia collusion narrative is not coming out the way they thought. Nadler starts out with, it's very clear the president obstructed justice. So he's already come to his conclusion. And we have to make sure this is not a dictatorship, he said. And he says Ivanka Trump could quite conceivably be added to the Democratic probe. Now they want to bring everybody in. Although apparently I'm off the list. I was on the list, now I'm off the list. I know the first thing I want
to
do.
Can I be your plus one to that hearing, please?
Is there such a thing as a plus one at
the
hearing?
Let's start it. I'll be like the hype girl in the back, like, yeah, that's right, Sean. Yeah.
They would need delay for that hearing.
No, I want Adam Schiff to go before. I want Adam Schiff to come on my TV show for an hour and this radio show for 3 hours. You know, I think he's being a little chicken Schiff.
Well played, Sean.
Yeah, a little chicken shift.
14 years together and you're finally catching up.
You have to act like a Russian show to get him on a radio program.
Yeah, I mean, and the first thing I'm going to do is I want to thank you for your hard work and to looking into Russian collusion because I have it right here in my hand, if I may play it for the committee. And I'm going to play Adam Schiff talking to somebody he thinks is a Russian about dirt on Donald Trump that he wants to get. So he's colluding with the Russians to get dirt on Trump, and it's on tape. And then the irony of this is supposedly what he's looking into, what they have been looking into. So Nadler's already declared that Trump is guilty. Now he had to back off of that comment because he might be perceived as being biased. And I'm like, you think? Maybe, yeah. Oh, and Clapper goes, I didn't lie to Congress about surveillance. I simply didn't understand the question.
As far as the comment about the allegation about my lying, I didn't lie. I made a big mistake. And I just simply didn't understand what I was being asked about. I thought of another surveillance program.
Why do Republicans?
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence.
Why don't they ever get an opportunity to make mistakes?
Wait.
Remember this Sandy Berger?
Hold on a minute.
Hold on.
This is the former...
Director
of National Intelligence.
Yes, that's correct.
National Intelligence.
Yeah, that's correct.
Didn't understand
the
question.
That's called a lie, and he lied under oath as so many others.
Well, in Democrats, well, it's just called talking.
The only ones that get in trouble. I'll never forget, this is one of the greatest lies and excuses and cover-ups ever in the history of politics. And it was, if you remember Sandy Berger. Sandy Berger went in after 9/11 into the National Archives and started, it's illegal to do this, stuffing documents in his pants, you know, where his private parts are, where his, right in the back of his ass, you know, sticking them in his socks, stealing the National Archives. He wanted something out of there that bad. And then everybody said, after he stuffs, you know, if you stuff papers down your pants, I guess it's not comfortable. I'm just assuming because I haven't stuffed.
Maybe he was trying to impress another staffer.
Maybe you're right. I have no idea.
He's
a really good thief. Is that what you're saying? No, that's what you meant by that. But then everybody went out and said, no. He stuck the papers in his socks and his pants. He was just being sloppy.
He
meant to put them back.
Sloppiness. I'm sure it was a careless sloppy.
And he admits this. And he was sloppy.
He admits it.
I'm sloppy too, so I can appreciate it.
I'm sloppy.
Obviously, the sloppiness was not something that we're going to regret later. And it was a case of sloppiness.
Sloppy.
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 They're all sloppy.
And the noise, too, when you're walking with the papers between your legs.
Oh, I'm sure you didn't even feel it as you're walking out.
Hopefully no paper cuts.
Yeah, I wonder if he got any paper cuts. It's a good question. And everyone bought that BS. He took something out of the National Archives. I'm certain that would have been damaging in terms of the Clintons and 9/11, because that's what it was in relation to. All right, as we continue on, final half hour, by the way, we're going to be taking your calls, 800-941-SEAN. Big time, AJ, Houston, Texas. You get the final minute this half hour. What's going on, big time? How are you?
Big time! Big time, hey, don't we say wake up Vietnam, wake up America, because baby, what these idiots trying to do to our president is unconscionable. This is unbelievable what we watch in Big Time, Sean, when we know who the crooks are. The only thing they need to do is go to the DM department. When is the Republicans going to go us that, Big Time, Sean?
Listen.
Go and tell these people, come on.
We They're going to save the country somehow. And let me tell you the one thing that's going to happen over time. The American people, they're going to see all of this for what it is. The American people are going to see Donald Trump works for them. Donald Trump's successful. Donald Trump fights for them, keeps his promises. And all they care about is hating Donald Trump. And that's not an agenda that people are going to be inspired about. And the new Green Deal is a absolute unmitigated failure in the future if we ever get that stupid. Say bye-bye, American Pie. All right, big time. We love you. Thank you. When we come back, wide open telephones as we continue. The Sean Hannity Show. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. 25 now till the top of the hour. All right, we're going to get to your calls. I want to play two clips for you first. Last night on Hannity, we had the head of Greenpeace Canada. Now, the guy's name is Patrick Moore. I mean, everybody knows about Greenpeace. Anyway, he ripped Ocasio-Cortez on Twitter as being a little twit. I mean, was really rough on her. And then he explained how ridiculous it was, her proposal, a Green Deal. And here's what he had to say.
She's talking about climate change, of course, and saying that we have to eliminate fossil fuels, all fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas in 10 years. This would be basically a suicide pact. Over 80% of the U.S. and the world's energy comes from fossil fuels. And the only reason for banning them is the so-called climate apocalypse or climate catastrophe. I see AOC recruiting young teachers and whole classes of young children against the apocalypse, they're saying. They're telling these children that there's going to be an apocalypse in 10 years if they don't save the climate. I think this is child abuse myself. The whole climate change movement has now reverted to using kids as a front for not only climate change and ending the use of fossil fuels, but the whole ball of wax about socialism. You know, I think that's really what they're trying to sell.
So when he said that, I thought back because Sunday night I had 60 Minutes. I was on the phone. I wasn't watching I wasn't watching that attentively. And I perked up and looked a little bit, you know, I was sort of interested when Steve Croft talked about this young 11-year-old girl, absolutely adorable kid. But she's involved in a lawsuit against the federal government over these issues. And I was listening to what Patrick said, and I think there's a lot of truth. We're scaring the crap out of kids. The world is gone in 12 years. Maybe we shouldn't have children. We've got to do the New Deal and no oil, no gas, no planes, no cows, no cars, nothing. And it's all nonsense. And it's all based on this agenda that is just the radical socialist agenda. And it would destroy all wealth in like in a matter of a year. It would be a catastrophe worldwide. I just want to play some of the 60 Minutes part. Then we'll come back and take your calls. But it just struck me after he said that. Yeah. What do you think these kids are learning in school? Remember, my kid was in grade school and they wanted to play Earth in the Balance. Al Gore's stupid movie. Now, I called the teacher and I said, well, you're going to play anything. You're going to give another point of view. And we start arguing about Al Gore. I said, I think my son's going to miss that day. When is that day? He's not going to be there. You're not going to punish him with his grade, are you? Because I'm not going to allow you to propagandize my son. Of course, my son is rolling his eyes saying, there's this crazy talk show host dad. But like, why are you, that you have a captive audience of kids and you're scaring the living daylights out of them.
The planet has a fever.
Well, all right. So I want to play this from 60 Minutes. And then we'll get to your calls.
Did you get a sense of how much they really understand the science here?
They understand the danger. That's for sure. You know, Jaden Foytlin told me, you know, when it rains at night, all I can think about is that storm in August of 2016. As she puts it, she woke up and she put her ankle in climate change, basically.
I was never expecting to have my house flooded. So to have that whole thing happen, it really just felt like it was a dream, or as if I was like just going, losing my mind or going like crazy.
So when it rains at night, she's thinking, well, what am I going to wake up to?
There's so that, real fear there.
There's real fear. And there's real fear, you know, with Levi Draheim, who lives on a barrier island in Florida. And he's very concerned that one day that island will be uninhabitable because of storm surge, rising sea levels. And none of them pretended that they knew or understood what's going to happen next in this case.
The government knew that it was a problem, but they're still taking actions to harm our environment.
Such as?
Supporting fossil fuel industries.
With subsidies?
English?
English? Subsidies mean they give them tax breaks. They give them favorable treatment.
I don't know.
Okay.
None of them pretended to know any of that type of stuff, but their fear was, I thought, very authentic.
You know, there are going to be a lot of adults out there watching this saying, ah, these kids are just being brainwashed by lawyers and environmental activists. Yeah. To them, what do you say?
I still know science. I still trust science more than I trust older generations that tell me that I'm wrong. Although I am 15, my age doesn't discredit science. I'm forever going to know what I know, and I'm forever going to trust science in that way.
I mean, it's fascinating that he said that, and then that happened on 60 Minutes this week. And what?
So I have a friend. You know her. She'll remain nameless for
right
now.
Did you see this segment? Was that girl?
It was unbelievable.
She's like off the charts, cute.
Right.
You know, great kid.
Standing up for herself.
Yeah.
Against the mania.
Well, I mean, she had a different point of view, but it didn't matter. And I thought it was, I like when kids are involved, even if we disagree. I think kids being involved in politics is good, but I do think there's a fear element in this indoctrination for kids.
So my friend's son goes to a private school in Florida, and they pay a lot of money for this private school education. Long story short, they were talking about immigration. And he cited some statistics that he had gotten from the Center for Immigration Studies and your show. Teacher flips out, says Sean Hannity is not a reference. Meanwhile, every single stat that she had used in the class was from CNN or MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, I don't think yours are good references. I don't give a crap what Cuomo says. I don't care what this one says or that one says. Now my friend is meeting with the superintendent and the school principal and the teacher because the kid was killed after class for being an obstruction to the learning capabilities for the other children by providing this alternate view. He's 11.
Whatever happened that schools were supposed to be a bastion of free thought and the free and open exchange of ideas and ideals and opinions and, you know, that you would reward outspokenness whether you agreed or disagreed. Now, my son's taking a communications class right now, and it's interesting because of the topic that was selected. I don't want to give too many details. But
can you give us a clue?
Well, it's about immigration, and I just think that it's going to be interesting. Now, in this particular case, I'm told that the teacher really, really encourages the kids to go really develop strong opinions. Do your work and then back it up, whatever it happens to be. Now, this being what I do for a living, of course, I want to weigh in, but I'm not allowed to weigh in. I just keep my mouth shut. Okay, good luck. If I can help you, let me know. You know, nobody wants my help anymore. Dads are irrelevant at this stage. Dads are like, you know, hopefully when they're done with college, if they go to grad school, whatever, maybe they'll come back and want to talk to dad and hang out with dad again. What are you laughing at?
You know, I went to grad school, and I will tell you that it's a complete waste of time, but hey.
Listen,
you thought they were trying to indoctrinate you in undergrad.
I know my kids aren't listening, thank God, because I wouldn't want them to hear this.
I think they might be listening.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
They don't listen. They've got more important things to do.
I am
telling you, a lot of college is a total, colossal waste of time. Unless it's just true. I went there, and I got good grades in the time I was there, but you don't use any of it in real life. I did learn a lot about, I'd like learning about, I had a dual major of economics and poli-sci. And I did love learning about economics. Supply, demand, crisscross, dictates,
I'll tell you
price.
What I think the problem is with school.
What?
Just my real shorthand, I'll let you get to your calls. What did you say? Okay, then. People in the studio, they think they could just comment on whatever they want, you know? It's a problem.
And they're not following mom's lead here.
Well, listen. I've been here a long time, you know. You were the one who told me it was an open mic policy.
I've restricted that numerous times.
When you're
times.
On my time, thank I you, can Maxine. Reclaim it.
See? But I will tell you, I went to school at night, and I worked during the day for all of my degrees. And I will tell you, the students that go to school at night have a very different perspective.
They're more serious.
No, they're paying taxes.
Yeah, that's
they're working. These kids during the day, they're there on mommy and daddy's money. They don't have a clue.
It's so funny because I used to like to take the night classes because I never liked getting up early. But because of my hours, I've never been an early morning person. Well, I want to get up at 6 o'clock. That's why I hated high school so much. Got to get up at 6 o'clock. Ugh, hated it because I'm up all night listening to the radio and doing the stuff that I want to do. I like to be up all night and I like to sleep. I'm not late. 8 o'clock would be awesome. All right, let's get to Rhonda in South Bend, Indiana, the home of Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. What's going on, Rhonda? How are you?
Hi, Sean. I'm great. Thank you. Hey, as a mother of four boys, I have really been paying attention to what Miss AOC has been saying. She's the age of my oldest son, and I really believe that she's a product of this. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's wonderful style of parenting that this generation has been raised in. It has created a false sense of self-esteem in these kids because it's not based on real accomplishments. I think it has dumbed them down. They haven't learned how to think. And so when they go off to the universities, like you've been talking about, and as my third son is experiencing, they're totally susceptible to these dangerous ideologies that they're teaching. So this, I think of it as a kid-centric way of parenting. We have not allowed them to suffer hardship, to develop character that they can only get through life experiences. And that means trying, failing, trying again, and overcoming. And so they're now coming into leadership, and they do not have the character, the wisdom, or the chops to be leaders.
Look, I can only tell you, I try and stay out of all things with the kids in school because, you know, I was free enough in my life. My parents didn't tell me what my interest should be. My interest when I was young was sports. And I then became in love with the radio, which led to my love of politics and the economy and history and all of the things that we talk about every day. I think every person, every individual has to figure it out. But, you know, it is true. Once you get into the real world, like Linda was saying, those people that go to night school, they're more rooted in reality than the kids that just got out of high school that get the trophy, as you say, and they didn't have to work for it. And we're all equal, and it doesn't, we don't notice what the score is as if kids don't keep score. It's just not realistic. Rhonda, thank you. Back to our phones. Tony is in Delaware. Tony, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Yeah, so Sean, I just wanted to chime in about, you know, these never-ending investigations and hearings, committee hearings. Now, what I think about it is all this is free advertising for these Democrats when they run for whatever office they're running in. I mean, they get all this time, no charge, and that's what they're going to do. And they just want to have a continuing investigation so then the next election they can be like, oh, well, hey, Trump's under investigation just like Hillary was in 2016. So it's really, I don't know what else to call it, but it's a goat rodeo. And the Democrats, they're playing America and getting free advertisement all in one.
Look, the American people are going into the biggest choice election cycle that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think it's going to be that hard to get done. All right, back to our busy phones. Michelle is in North Carolina. Hey, Michelle, glad you called.
Thanks so much, Sean. I have to agree with the caller you had on earlier that was talking about taking over the minds of children. There's someone else that did this, and his name was Adolf Hitler. And he said if you wanted to change a nation, then you needed to go through the children. And back about 60 years ago, I think it was, there was something called the Port Huron Papers.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it was the blueprint for how we were going to make the United States a socialist and then a communist nation. Because we all know that that's really,
I just don't like the Hitler analogies because I just don't. Because, listen, I know what you're saying about the Hitler youth. We know that Palestinian children are in school. They use cartoon characters to indoctrinate them into hating the Jewish people and Israel. I'm going to tell you something. I hate when it happens in America. You have a captive group of kids And these professors, these teachers take full advantage, and they advance their worldview, political agenda onto these kids. It's disgusting to me. Anyway, good call, Michelle. Quick break, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. Great Hannity tonight. We'll tell you about that next. And that's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. Now the never-ending, widest net investigation in the history of the country. Is this any type of political strategy that will ever work? Democrats hate Trump. New Green Deal. Does it work? Geraldo Rivera battles Dan Bongino. Also, Jeanine Pirro, Alan Dershowitz, and a deep state investigation, John Solomon, and more, 9 Eastern tonight, Hannity on Fox News.